going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome to Bust the Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster. That, of course, is Evan Jenkins. We're here to talk about drafts, prospects, and the future. And what's bigger than the NFL draft? What's bigger than the Lions draft? We spend a lot of time obsessing about it, especially on this podcast. And it finally happened, and the Lions have selected. So we're going to go over pick by pick. We'll go over in detail what they did and whether it was a good draft or bad draft. I'm not going to give a grade to it. I think that's one of the stupidest things, like, oh, it's a little B+. You know what I used to do, Evan? When I was a beat writer and they'd tell me to give it a grade, I'd always give it a B. That way, if it was good, you know, and if it was bad, I certainly wouldn't give anything an A or a C or a D or something, a fail.
Yeah, I mean, Pat, it's so hard to grade these guys before ever seeing them on an NFL football field,
right,
and it's
right.
Unfair, in my opinion.
It is. But I thought it was a good draft. Yeah, I didn't think there was anything crazy. There's a lot of fans who were going nuts about the edge rusher, and, you know, we talked about that ad nauseum. I certainly have on my radio show, and I've written about it. Like, it's the most over-talked-about thing in the history of the world. And actually, they had just as big a need or a bigger need, that interior defensive line. And they got a really good player that should really help them in Tyleek Williams, who played at Ohio State. He was, you know, productive. He moves well. He's a player that kind of fits what they need because he can go on the nose. DJ Reader did not play well last year by DJ Reader's standards. Yeah, he got 500 snaps, which was surprising because he's been injured so much. They got a $13 million cap hit on him, and if they cut him, it's only under $5 million dead cap money. It wouldn't surprise me if they cut him at some point if they don't like what they see when they get back here or even before that. So they needed that player.
Yeah,
Ayla McNeil's not going to be there to start the year because of the ACL.
And I feel like some of the Lions' best drafts are the ones that had the least amount of sex appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, go look at the drafts with Frank Ragnow and Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell. I mean, you looked at those guys in the first round and you're like, oh, okay, we'll have to wait and see. But those are the players that solidified their team. And going forward, I mean, you put a 330-pound mountain of a man there next to him, Lee McNeil, it's going to make running the ball against the team even tougher when, in the past couple of years, they've actually done really well against the run.
And the most players, whatever position, rotated out in the entire football field is interior defensive line. So you can't have enough to fit a rotation. You don't want somebody playing 800, 900 snaps there. So this is a good pick. He's a good player from everything I've seen. He makes some plays. You saw the Penn State play a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a really good player. And certainly late in the first round, that wasn't any kind of stretch or reach. And I could see where they would look at him and feel like this is a guy that they wanted. And clearly, they didn't think that about James Pierce or some of the other edges that went earlier, because Brad Holmes is, you know, first thing he'll do if he targets a guy, will try to trade up for him.
Yeah, and he doesn't shy away from that in the least bit. If there's a guy, he goes and gets him.
He goes and gets him, which he did in this draft a couple times. So I like the Williams pick, and I think it would be somebody that'll probably play for him. But I don't think it was something that they were going after a position of need. I think this is a player you could see realistically rated right there for them. Now, if Mike Green turns out to be the greatest edge rusher in the history of the world, or Isaraku from Boston College, the other players that were mocked, and Williams isn't that good, people will be going, why didn't you take those guys? And you know what? They'll have a point. But that's the thing about the draft. You see what happens, and then you come into some kind of conclusion. And unless it's something that's absolutely whack, especially with the group that the Lions have right now, these guys haven't fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay? These guys have been good. So when I'm sitting there looking at it, it's like, yeah, that makes sense to me. So I'm not going to go ape shit, you know, like some, blah, 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 they're all of a sudden they're drafting for need, or, you know, come to any of these asinine conclusions, you know, looking at it. And Williams, to me, you know, as a player that, I followed, you know, following this closely, know who he is, and I think he's a good pick.
Yeah, and any pick that really hasn't ended up working out for Brad Holmes has been a quote-unquote project pick.
Yeah.
And that this guy is not that. He's a plug-and-play guy where you can hopefully play him from game one of the season. I mean, he had a little injury in his pro day where he pulled a hamstring or something like that, but nothing that's going to hamper the big man. And let's be honest, I don't think there's going to be many times where he's running 40 yards down the field. And if he is, the Lions have a bigger problem.
Right, but he can play five technique.
Yeah.
And certainly three technique.
He's athletic for 330 right. pounds, 6'3".
They said the comp with Ayla McNeil. He's not. Ayla McNeil is a freakish athlete for
Absolutely.
A bowling ball when they drafted him.
Did you know he played baseball?
He did. And he was also, did you ever see the tape of him playing running back in high school?
No. Yes, I have.
I mean, what a freakish athlete. Surprised he went in the third round. Plus, he works hard and does those.
Yep.
But he lost weight and became a three technique. And they need a bigger guy. This guy's not as athletic as Ayla McNeil is, but close. You know, he's a close facsimile to him. But he's stronger, I think, at the point of attack now that McNeil has lost that weight. So this does fit the Lions. Second round pick. A guard, a brawler, a mauler, and former five-star recruit. This guy was a big-time recruit out of high school, and that is Tate Ratledge from Georgia. And, look, it's going to be either him or Anzalone who has the nicest hair sticking out of the helmet.
Might be a little bit nicer because it's so unique.
It's so unique. This guy, he looks like he should be a roadie for Florida Georgia Line or whatever that rock band is. You know, the bouncer or something.
That's what he looks like. He looks like a mean ass bouncer. Then
he looks
like
a mean ass bouncer. You know, at the kicking shit country club or something, or country music club.
And you know what I like?
This guy can do the Texas two step. I think
the one thing I like the most about him, Pat, is that they list him as an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Meaning, it sounds like he could play anywhere on that line.
You know what? I looking at him, looking at, and we always have this discussion. I always have a qualifying thing. You know, actually, if I saw John or T.J. Lang, those guys would be a lot better to comment on at me. But some of the nuance with offensive line, me observing this, I always have to be careful. But observing it and watching it, watching quite a bit of him since they drafted him, he doesn't really move like a tackle.
Okay.
You know, my observation of him is he's really strong at the point. He's hard to push back. Even though he's tall, he'll get up, but they can't get under him and push him back. And he's a good run blocker. But I see him as a guy in space, limited space, being a brawler. You know, we're putting a stereotype on him, but like you talked about, man, the bouncer you don't want to fuck with.
Yeah.
That's what he plays football like. All right? I like this guy as a player a lot, but as a guard. And I don't know if he can flip the center. because center has got a lot of nuance to it, especially where they snap the ball like over 60-70% of the time in the shotgun, and you know, the line calls and all that. And it's a different aspect. You got to do that and then get on somebody. But you put this guy at guard, he's one of those guys who could play 10 years there. He'll get in there and he'll brawl. I mean, you know, those big tackles and everything, they're going to have their – they know they're going to get hit, and they know he's not going to back down. And, you know, if he can get to, you know, where he's like, you know, one of these classic guards. You know, I was thinking, you know, what guards did I enjoy watching? You know, I like watching Lang when he played with Green Bay. And Sitton, remember those two guys?
Yeah,
together?
Josh Sitton.
And they would just totally fuck with Ndamukong Suh and Fairley.
Oh, yeah.
They would take it right to the edge, right to the edge, but not go over the edge. And those guys, by the end of the game, you know, that's one of the reasons Suh didn't stomp on one of those two guys, but he would have if he had an opportunity, because those guys used to piss him off. This is the type of guard, I think, that Ratliff is. And that's part of their identity.
Now,
they all play like that. Sewell plays like that, and, you know, Decker plays like that. Ragnow plays like that. These are tough men.
He reminds me of the wrestler from the Nasty Boys. I don't know if you remember them at
no.
all. But they had the same exact haircut as he does. And it's just, I look at him, and if there was a guy built in a lab to play for the Detroit Lions, I feel like it would be him.
A guard. And Glasgow, you know, honestly did not play well last year. I admire Graham Glasgow for the career he's had.
That's the Nasty Boys.
There he is. There he is. Right there. There he goes.
I mean, with that mohawk and mullet that he's got going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a prototypical Detroit Lion football player.
Yeah. You know,
especially on the offensive line.
Yeah.
He's looking to kick ass and take names.
Yeah. So that'll be – and the Lions, everything they do is based on their offense.
Absolutely.
Line. Everything. He's keeping the defense off the field, setting up Goff so he can have success. There's such a dichotomy between when they run the ball well and stick with the run to set up the pass than when they get outside of their identity. So I like that pick. The third-round pick is the one that's polarizing, I think, for people, and with good reason. I have nothing against Isaac Tesla. You know, I don't. So don't take this wrong, and he very well could be a good pick there. It's just odd that they would move to try to get him and target him so much. Just there's a difference between being a freakish athlete and testing well and showing a lot of desire in the block game at the Senior Bowl with actual production on the football field as a receiver. I'm always skeptical, like when the first thing they start talking about a wide receiver is his blocking. Who gives a shit? You know, I mean, it is important. But it's, you know, how much is he going to catch the ball? And he wasn't very productive at Arkansas.
Not at all.
You know, I mean, he wasn't. And I watched him. I knew he was. So it's like I never saw him. I saw him. I specifically remember watching him play a half of football. And it was against Mississippi State. I was in the Planet Fitness studio after my show riding the exercise bike. And they kept throwing to him, and he couldn't get separation. I specifically remember that. And he had that other player that he played with, what is it, Alexander, who was an undrafted free agent. I think he signed with Miami, caught 50 more balls than him. Another big receiver. Ran a 4.5, 4.6 compared to, you know, the 4.34 or whatever it is, or 4.43 that Tesla did, and he didn't jump 39.5 inches. So, you know, people think, well, you just run down the field, you catch the ball, you do this. No, you got to sink your hips, turn, you know, get open on patterns. You got to chop your feet sometimes rather than just glide. There's a time to glide and time not to. I watched this kid against Arkansas, and I saw his, you know, that was a good game. Arkansas against Texas A&M, and he caught a 75-yard touchdown pass. I remember he was wide open and ran down the field. He only had like 400 and some yards.
I know.
You know, receiving out, you know, with one of them being that 75-yard catch. So I'm not knocking the guy, you know, but this stuff about how he's got to learn how to get separation. And it's going to be interesting, even in the OTAs. You know, any pads on, shells and all that, when he is, somebody's in press coverage on him. They're going to get up in his grill. You know, somebody like Terrion Arnold is a superior athlete. They'll be, you know, giving him a hard time. How is he going to handle that? And is he going to be able to separate? Is he going to be able to sink his hips, move, and separate? And is he going to have that feel? You see, like Amon-Ra St. Brown has this feel where he just puts his body in a position where he shields it from the defender. You don't see that from Isaac Tesla. So I don't know how it's all going to work out. Now, it could be they get him. He's like a piece of, you know, just the best clay you could possibly get, and they can mold him. Or they're not able to do it. But there's risk there. There's risk there, and they can't afford a wide receiver version of Broderick Martin, I don't think.
Well, they got the modern-day David Kirkus. You know, he went to Hillsdale. I'm only kidding.
Well, the fact that he went to Hillsdale, Kirkus went to Grand Valley.
That's what I'm
saying.
They
had a receiver back in the day, Jeff Chadwick, who was really good for them. There's a lot of players that come out of the GLIAC, now, whatever they call it now, that are pretty good. Jeff Heath from Lake Orion High School started for the Cowboys, went to Saginaw Valley. The Janice played from Saginaw Valley. Joy Bell from Wayne State.
I heard that.
Did you know
he was a janitor at Ford Field?
There you go. Yeah. So you have a lot of players. And the way things are set up now, as you know, if somebody's really good at that division, then they move up. That receiver I mentioned that had the 50 more catches than Tesla came from a smaller school too. So Arkansas has done that. But people who say he didn't have a good quarterback, he does have a good quarterback. The quarterback there is pretty damn good.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
For Arkansas.
I look at the pick, and this is one that I'm going to have to wait and see and really judge it when I see him on a field against NFL corners. I like his big body. I don't know if he's going to play outside or inside. I'm going to assume they want him inside, and I assume that they drafted him as a replacement for Tim Patrick. I don't know how much time he's going to get on the playing field once the actual season starts. He's going to get a ton in the preseason with them playing four preseason games this year. So I'm going to wait and see approach with him, because you're right, he didn't really have the production in college when he was in the SEC.
And there are reasons why he didn't.
Yes. So you know, I'm going to do a wait and see approach with him.
No, so I understand the pick, and
I totally get it as well.
I'm not like, oh, that's a terrible pick.
I wouldn't have been surprised if they took a receiver in the first round if there was a guy that they
liked. I didn't have a problem with them take. You know, with me, it's always, hey, if you got a choice between a great receiver and a half-ass guard, even though you need a guard, take the great receiver.
Yes.
You know, if there's somebody that falls to you, they can make plays. I mean, ultimately, you can do that. But, you know, this wasn't as productive a player as I thought he should be, given that, you know, he had a quarterback, one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, at least, you know, Talen Green, who was, you know, 6'6", has a rocket arm type of guy. That was a good game, too, by the way, that one with Texas A&M and Arkansas. That was one of the more entertaining games I saw last year. I don't know why I remember it. I was just watching it. I think he's it's what it is. You know, I don't want to hear about blocker or special teams third round when you trade up to do
right.
I just don't want to hear it. You know, he's got to be a receiver, and he's got to be a regular receiver. And one thing good is they've got so many other weapons. He's not going to be facing maybe some of the coverage that they would have to face. And it makes you wonder, if he does well, you know, what are they going to ultimately do when they have salary cap hell hits? Would they move a JMO? You know, that type of
exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
The other question I get on him a lot is, could he play tight end? Which I don't see that. I don't see him as a tight end. But they'll use him a lot in the slot, and they may do some things that will be tight end-like, but not a pure tight end.
Yeah, I mean, they line Dan Skipper up at tight end, so they might line anybody up.
Dan Skipper's job might be in peril.
Ooh, yeah, when we get to the next guy especially.
Yeah, talking about Miles Frazier from LSU. I love this pick.
He's huge.
I was surprised he was there. But guards sometimes fall because of position. I was surprised he was there. I really like Miles Frazier. Miles Frazier and Ratledge could be a real good guard combination for the Lions at some point. I mean, really strong guard combination. Same type of thing. Street fighter in there. Yeah, fits that mold. He's not going to get pushed around. It's he has the athleticism to play the position in that tight space. Terrific pick.
Yeah, anytime you see a kid that plays at one of these big SEC schools and is a four-year starter, you know they're a legit football player, right?
Oh, yeah.
And exactly with what you said. Now, I do have a question, because usually, I'm going to say prototypically, guards are usually 6'3 or so. These two guards that they drafted are 6'6", 6'7". That doesn't...
That's different.
Does it hinder a quarterback at all? Is it just...
No, it doesn't hinder the quarterback. To? I know what you're saying, though, in the throwing lane.
Yeah.
But the question is, you know, the old pad level thing. If you're drive blocking, one of the reasons, you know, some of the more effective players that play inside, you see this with middle linebackers a lot, sometimes they're shorter guys.
Yeah.
And they're able to fit their body in space, and they're able to get leverage, and it's a big leverage game. You know, I don't, they have Rod Marinelli and pad level. But the way the Lions do things, it's important. Now, even more important is going to be interesting. The Lions, like we were talking before the draft about Gray Zabel.
Yeah.
And I told you, look, man, this guy is special. Will these guys be able to pull? I think that's the big question. You know, when you're tall like that, you know, pulling, you know, what's the first thing you do when you get out of a stance usually? Like, we got into a stance, like a football stance, what would you do? Stand up.
Right.
Well, the first thing they got to do is stay low, and then they got to turn and pull, you know, and get to a certain spot in a certain period of time. I don't know how much that's going to affect what they're doing if they run some kind of trap plays. Because they do like to run some trap plays with things up the middle sometimes, you know. And a lot of times those tight ends are very important on that, because they use a lot of times their tight end crashing through there to do it. They've done a lot of intriguing things that way. So their height could be, you know, it's a good point. It might be a bit of a hindrance that they're that big. Frazier, though, is watching the combine thing. He looks like he moves pretty damn well. So I really like that pick. I was surprised that he was there. And people who say, well, edge rusher and everything, they need their offensive line is their team.
Absolutely.
It is their team.
It starts and ends with that.
It does.
And, I mean, it was evident in the playoff loss to the Commanders. They had a couple breakdown of plays, and it was the offensive line. Whether on that fumble with Goff specifically, how much that changed the game.
Right.
And that was all based on a blown block. So, I mean, Pat, I have no problem so far how they've gone about the draft. I mean, they kind of traded away a couple picks from next year in their third rounders, but you know what? I'm not worried about next year. I'm worried about this year, in my opinion.
And if this year goes south, and nobody wants to hear this, but if this year goes south and you got the trade deadline, you can pick up your draft picks.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you want to hear a comp. Here's a comp. What do they do with T.J. Hockenson when he was making decent money?
Got rid of him.
Got rid of him.
Got
I mean, really didn't get anything back. You know, they got Hendon Hooker and Broderick Martin for it.
Well, but they got
draft
positional
picks.
Draft picks.
So, you know, Helms is smart when it comes down to this. He knows he can get picks back easy enough,
mm-hmm.
Just depending on what the situation is. And so I like their pick so far. Like I said, the Tesla pick, you know, raised some eyebrows with me. But I'm not, like I said, man, I'm not one to start flaming the pick and start saying, hey, I'm way smarter than them.
Yeah,
I'm
for just, all we know, Arkansas wasn't using them right. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, but I didn't see what they see in him at all in that particular situation. Next pick up on their draft board would it be Boise edge rusher Amid. How do you pronounce his name again? We just pronounced it like five times.
Hassanin. Yes.
Yeah. Amid Hassanin from Boise State, and you know, sarcasm flowing. They got an edge. But if you look at this kid, the player they got, Evan, when we talked about edges, what type of edges did we talk about? We talked about
a lot of bend.
Yeah, well, you got the guy with the tall stand-up, you know, the James Pierce, Izaraku type of linebacker. And then you got it more of a traditional defensive end to play with his hand in the ground and weighs, instead of 245, 250, weighs 265 to 270. And this is what they got here. He's not tall for a defensive end. He is somebody that puts his hand in the ground. And for the most part, they can kick him inside. If they kick him anywhere, it's not going to be outside standing up all the time. It's going to be inside with his hand on the ground.
So he's not James Houston.
No, he's not James Houston. He's more Josh Pascal.
Okay.
You know, more that type of edge. Yeah, that's a good comp because James Houston.
Yeah, he was always up.
The people will understand, you know, basically on the body types. And you know, we equate and just say edge. Look, he was productive. That's a big-time program. Watching him, I'd be lying through the teeth to tell you I think he's going to be good in the NFL or bad in the NFL. I really can't tell. Honestly, I mean, I'm just looking at it. Looks like he plays, you know, competitively and, you know, gets low and, you know, has a little bit of explosion. But he fits kind of what they're looking for, actually, in the edge instead of, like, what people are thinking. They want a super edge pass rusher. He's more of a traditional defensive end as we've known him down through the years.
Yeah, and I did a little reading on him over the weekend because I wasn't very familiar with him or Boise State football in today's game. And the one thing I kept reading was how he dominates tight ends on the edge. And then so I instantly started thinking, well, who the hell are these tight ends in the Mountain West? That's where they play, right, the Mountain West? And I'm like, well, they aren't NFL tight ends, so, like, that's a different beast. And so I wonder, and I'll have to do more research, was he lining up primarily over a tight end? Was that who he was going? How did he fare against tackles, or did they stunt him? All those types of things. And those are things that I'll be anxious to see what the Lions do with him. But you're correct that he is not the prototypical huge Aiden Hutchinson guy, but there's different ways
to
get
Aiden
to
Hutchinson
the quarterback.
Falls in the that category of like Myles Garrett.
Yeah, freak.
Any
of the
TJ Watt.
Yes.
You know, in to a degree, even though J.J. Watt played more inside end, J.J. Watt, and you go down the list, Max Crosby falls in this
category.
Yeah, the
6'6", 280 guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're huge. And they move like
Gazelles, essentially.
Yeah. I remember we were talking about Aiden Hutchinson, and you're like, oh, this guy's really good. And I go, yeah, he's really good. Because he's so athletic and he's so huge, people don't realize how huge he is. And people were talking about his short arms. I was laughing.
That's one knock on this kid from Boise is that he's
short
arms.
He's got short arms. He's smaller, you know.
But it's all about how you get there, right?
Right.
And I don't have a problem with it after looking at him. It seemed like he had a lot of production at Boise. He had 22 sacks over the last couple of years.
He reminds me in a way of the pick they had last year. Now, different type player, probably played a little different role. But Wingo.
Okay.
You know, where he's a real good college player, but there's not the ideal physical measurements. And they're going to try to see, but it's good enough. I mean, it passes a certain baseline.
Sure.
And they're going to try to see whether they can fit a specific role for him, either on the edge or in inside, because he can play five technique. You know, that type of thing pretty well. Maybe he can stand up. I really don't know. I'd have to look at what his snap breakdown was. I meant to do that before I came in to do this podcast. I apologize for that. Whether he was standing up or whether he had his hand in the ground because I got those stats available to me. So, but I just looking at him, I didn't mind the pick at all.
No, 100%. And I would have been a little disappointed if I'm looking at all these draft picks come, today, that if there wasn't an edge at all, but they did address the need. I saw that Brad Holmes kind of had some snarky remarks afterwards about
it to
the
media. Well, he should be. He should. You know what? I'm laughing about that. The dude's making me laugh. He's funny. He has a sense of humor.
He's very aware of what people are saying.
Yeah, and, he's like, yeah, and he's right. I mean, picture yourself as Brad Holmes, right? And he's looking at his team, and, I look at it a little deeper and everything. It's because I got time to do it, and it's my hobby or whatever. And he's right about, like, hey, they had needs at other places.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive line is what it is. You want to take the best player. You don't want to take some player just to, appease the fan. In the past, actually, the Lions, I think, have done that at times. I think it's one of the reasons they took Mike Williams.
You think?
I think it was one of the reasons they took Joey Harrington. I think at different times, the Lions have actually bought into all the whatever and put pressure on their actual executives. And I know this because they've told me the executives in certain – like Matt Millen, wanted DeMarcus Ware badly.
Ended up being a good player.
Yeah, and instead of Mike Williams. He's like, he should have made the decision on it because he did have the power to just tell everybody to shut up, but he didn't do it.
Right.
Brad Holmes sitting there listening to, some of the calls we're getting, or some of the hosts here, are saying things like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting there laughing, going, really, man, it goes back to, I'll bite the hand that feeds me because everybody knows I love the station and love everybody that's here. So, don't take it that it's but the whole Myles Garrett thing. And before that, the Max Crosby thing. And I get on the air and I'm sitting there and I'm like, hey, it's not really that complicated. This isn't like some big sourced information where somebody from the Lions told me anything. I just happened to look up, they signed these couple guys and what their salary cap situation is for next year. They cannot trade for those guys. Those guys are trying to get long-term contracts. And the Lions, one, don't have draft capital to trade because they're not got early picks. Two, they're younger players. They don't really want to just move on from them. And three, they're going to have trouble keeping the players they got, let alone getting another edge. And four, Hutch is coming back next year.
Yeah.
So Brad Holmes knows all this. All right? And it's like it's logic. It's not some kind of like, oh, man, football savant and all this stuff. But you could not stop the edge rusher thing. You would think that if you got an edge rusher like Myles Garrett, your team is going to be great, and you don't need anybody else on your team. You just got Hutch. You put those two guys out there against 11 guys, and they win. So, you know, he's got to be laughing about it. And you know what? He's funny when he says that. And it was great before the draft when they had their thing. He's trying to come up with creative ways to say the same thing every year before the draft. And so he started with, hey, why don't you sit back and, you know, eat your popcorn. I thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was funny. And, you know, but in with Brad Holmes, he's going to be judged by this draft. Very important draft. Like we talked about, they don't have ways to get players now.
Not other than free the draft. Agency.
No, they don't. And second, they got to hit on their draft. And that 2024 draft has to start coming through.
Yeah.
You know, these, you know, players that, you know, that didn't, like Giovanni Mano didn't play. And Broderick Martin, I don't know what the
deal. Hardly played.
Yeah, and Terrion Arnold has to be a player. Rakestraw has to be a player.
Well, and you mentioning Manu, I wonder if he's the odd man out now. You know what I mean?
He's a tackle, I think.
It just makes me wonder because you still have Swordstell there.
That's a player that's going to be
Mahogany's there.
Mahogany definitely.
There will be some
Swordstell is that's he could be cut.
I don't even know if Manu got cut if he could just clear and go back to their practice squad. You know what I mean?
I don't know because he's so athletic.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I'm going to wonder. Out of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 picks that they made, are all 7 going to be on the team come roster cut day?
Hey, I'm going to ask you this, man. Yeah. I'll bounce this off you about like the 2024 draft. You know what player in that draft I love? And I loved it when they took him was Vaki.
Yeah.
I remember I was raving about that. It's like, oh, Evan, man, this is a great fucking pick. Oh, fuck. I went back and watched. This guy's great. And is Vaki, is he a possible replacement for Montgomery?
It's interesting. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, Montgomery got how many years? 3-year deal or something along those lines?
Yeah, he's going to be on the team this year.
You just got to wonder, can they get him reps, or is it still going to be the Craig Reynolds experience? You know,
well, Craig Reynolds is pretty good when they put him in there to run that.
Oh, he runs hard.
Hammerback.
I mean, he's a great replacement for David Montgomery.
But it seems to me that Vaki, there's two weapons that they really didn't get enough use out of. One of them is one of their primary players is Laporta.
Yeah, it seemed like near the second half of the year they started using him more, but early on.
Yeah, they can get more out of him. He's good.
Absolutely.
And I wonder if they can find a way, because Vaki, he's pretty dangerous in this kind of versatile way. You could spot him a little more than what they did last year. I know he's good on special teams and all that, but
I think they were using him sparingly because of the depth that they had at running back. And what, he was a safety at Utah mostly. He definitely wasn't getting any run there unless Brian Branch went down. And then it ended up being, what, Morris came in or something like that.
Right.
Some guy we barely even heard of. So it's going to be interesting. But they did end up getting themselves a backup safety, though. And they went the Eagles route. They went Georgia picks with their last two picks.
They got the poor man's Cooper DeJean.
He's something. He's a former walk-on that ended up starting for the Bulldogs and Dan Jackson.
Yeah, I'll say this about him. He's a pretty good fucking player.
Oh, yeah.
All right? You know, it's there's a couple things. Talking about Dan Jackson.
Yes, the safety out of Georgia.
And for one thing, he can run. You know, he ran a sub-4.5. That's flying, you know, for a safety. I mean, man, he's got foot speed. He's not the big safety guy, like 106.3 guys. And he's the prototypical, hey, man, I just don't want to make a tackle. I want to get a kill shot. He just wants to hit. And he makes plays. You know, he recovers fumbles. He forces fumbles. He'll pick off a pass. You know, he's you know, one of those when he's playing, when you watch Georgia, it was impossible not to notice him. He was third team all SAC.
Yeah, he's a football player is what this kid
right,
is. And I think he's going to be this year's Vaki, where he's going to be a special team star until he can make the field with other positions.
Well, I think he'll be on the practice squad. I think this will be a kid that'll be on the practice squad.
Okay.
But where they took him, there's some intriguing things about him. that could end up helping them, you know, a great deal. I didn't think, I was like, wow, that's a pretty good place to take him in the draft. It wouldn't surprise me if he plays in the NFL, Evan, and you know.
Well, he has the pedigree. You play safety at Georgia, you're going up against some prime receivers out there in the
SEC.
Yeah,
and they had a lot of injuries and funky things happen, and he produced for
them. I mean, they were always – I mean, he, what, won two national titles there? And
yeah, well, he didn't play until last year.
Yes.
And when he got the opportunity to play, he really played. The downside on him is – he misses tackles.
Okay.
All right, he goes for that kill shot, and when he misses on it, you know, and if you watch, I watched a little bit of it because I read that, you know, missed tackles, so I went and watched, you know, see if I could see that, and I did see that where he'll kind of – he'll miss, you know. You know, and when you're a safety, you're the last line of defense.
Yeah, you have to make those tackles.
Right, he doesn't have the flexibility or things to play corner.
Okay.
So he has to play safety. And he could be a developmental guy. You know, some of these dudes, man, you can't measure, you know, the size of the dog in the fight, but, you know, the size of the dog in the fighter or whatever the saying
right,
is.
I get what you're saying.
You know, I mean, this dude, he, you know, obviously, and he can run. He can run and he's solidly built. And he's played against top college competition and thrived for the most part. So, I, you know, nothing wrong with that pick.
Yeah, you might as well just call this Athens North because then they went and got another Georgia player.
Yeah, well, that's – I don't know about this guy. I mean, he's okay.
Dominic Lovett?
Yeah, I mean, he made some plays.
He's a little fellow.
Yeah.
He's 5'10", 180 pounds.
He's a slot. You know, so I, you know, he can play special teams, they said. You know, it's always when they say they can play special teams, it's like, well, okay.
Well, and I heard somebody talking over the weekend, I don't know, it was a talking head, and they kept talking about how much he can add in the return game. I'm like, well, kickoff returns are, like, basically non-existent anymore.
Well, this year they're kicking them, it's going to be added a little bit.
So unless that starts happening, I mean, I don't know if you can have a position on your team just for a punt returner.
Well, what about Raymond?
Yeah, but I feel like Raymond, when he's out there as a receiver, he produces as well.
Yeah, but he's a good kick returner.
Absolutely. So, I mean, how can you really trump him is my point. Like,
yeah, so what you got here is a guy that's either going to make the team or he'll get as a practice squad guy. There's no way this guy makes the team. If you look at their receiver room, there's no way. They still got, like, Antoine Green. You know, he might
well, they
take...
A lot.
He might take Tom Kennedy's role. Now, last year, they had to play Tom Kennedy in a couple games. You know, but Tom Kennedy's kind of their backup return guy.
And don't forget about Ronnie Bell.
Ronnie Bell's, yeah. Yeah. he would be above Ronnie Bell. But
I agree.
This guy's way down on that depth chart. But it probably means the end of this guy can play a little bit, Tom Kennedy. And I've always, you know, Antoine Green has shown some things in those preseason games.
Absolutely has.
But it's hard for me, you know, to know what he would do when they play real time because the preseason games are so horseshit now. They've always been horseshit.
Well, now that you got four of them because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. So, I mean. And
whoa.
I'll be honest, Pat, it kind of weirds me out because I'm like, okay, the Lions notoriously don't play starters in these preseason games. God, to see him have to play four games, if they lose any depth to injury, I'm going to be like, oh, no.
They'll be playing all these schlubs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you want to know if Hendon Hooker can play? You'll get an idea in the preseason.
Well, you think?
They better play him a lot.
Like,
they better take full advantage
yeah,
of that.
If I see more Kyle Allen than I do Hendon Hooker, I'm going to be very
upset.
Yeah,
because last year they were putting Sudfeld out there and this other crap. Nobody wants to see that bullshit.
At some point, you got to see what you have, right?
Right. Yeah, you got to see what Hendon Hooker can do. So it's a big offseason. So, but I thought it was an interesting draft. You know, the whole Shedeur Sanders thing drove me half crazy because people are like, it was racism. No, it wasn't racism. You know, this guy grew up with his silver spoon in his mouth. It was the opposite of that. He didn't want to have a helicopter dad. They didn't want Bronny James. You know, it's like, But I was surprised at that because we were talking about it. I think Shedeur Sanders is a really good quarterback. Maybe
but
I'm missing something.
Is he worth the headache as a backup quarterback on your team? And I see majority of these teams are like, no, it's not worth it to us.
Yeah, in football, they do not want that distraction. The other thing, too, when you got a backup quarterback and it's a big name, the starter just does not reasonably well. That's what they'll be doing in Cleveland. Well, see Shadur.
Well, think about that QB room that they have.
They got tons of guys in there.
And you drafted Dylan Gabriel in front of them.
I know.
It's wild. What did you make? I mean, just because we're here in Detroit, the fact that Will Johnson fell as far as he did, because, I mean, going into the year, we were sure he was a top five pick.
Well, there were a couple things happened. One of them is when he played last year, he got smoked a couple times, mm-hmm. which hadn't happened before. You know, he had a couple of returns for touchdowns.
Absolutely.
But he got smoked. The Texas game, USC game, even though they pulled it out, he got smoked a couple times, and it was kind of obvious.
Even against Fresno he did, and Fresno, just couldn't hit the ball to him.
Fresno was, yes. So the other thing, too, is he didn't get a chance to run. So nobody knows what his, you know, speed is. Did he lose any of his speed? Is he still, you know, this, great athlete, things like that? So I think it kind of, you know, he didn't have a good enough year, really, before he got hurt. To really show what he can do.
And it wasn't like he was this 4-3 guy before that anyway.
But with corners, the most overrated thing a lot of times is their 40 time. That sounds ridiculous, but it is. I mean, Josh Norman and Richard Sherman, the two best corners in, you know, this past generation, right? They're right up there. They're 4-6-5 guys.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Sherman, the 32 players at the combine when he ran, he was 26th of the corners.
Crazy.
And Norman ran about the same time. So not all these corners. Now, ideally, you got, you know, like somebody like Gonzalez, who's, you know, be turned into a dominant player with the Patriots, or Stingley.
Yes.
With the Texans. And, of course, Sauce Gardner with the Jets, and Quinyon Mitchell and these other guys that come out that are – everything. Cooper DeJean.
Yes.
You know, they got the speed, the size, you know, this, you know, extraordinary athleticism. But a lot of times the top corners turn out to be guys that aren't. And then you got a lot of corners who run really fast, but they don't have a, you know, real good ability to jam receivers, you know, ball hawk them, you know, things like that.
And the best ability a football player can have is availability.
Right.
And that's something he didn't have last year.
And corners get hurt a lot.
Absolutely. Well, he went from turf toe to then all of a sudden having a knee injury that came out during the first round, and it's
right.
Like, yeah, that's weird. And he didn't do anything at the combine, even like you said, at his pro day, he couldn't run. So if you're a team, you're like, am I really going to –
And he didn't play well last year.
Yeah, am I going to invest that high of a pick in a guy that we have a lot of questions about?
Yeah, so he was taken about where he should have been taken.
Sure.
So, but here's the thing, that doesn't mean he's not. He, you know,
he could be very, very, very.
He's a
successful.
Legitimate five star coming out of Grosse Pointe South, and
absolutely.
He starred right away at Michigan. So that may turn out to be the bargain of the draft, but I don't know what the medicals say either. You know, because it's so hidden. A lot of times we don't really know. A lot of times, Brad Holmes would say we. You know, we don't watch hours and hours of tape.
Right.
You know, I'm just kidding. You know, he's talking about, like, it's hard work watching that tape.
Well, you got to make sure you got the right guy.
Come on, man. I flip on YouTube all the time and watch highlights.
That's amazing.
I remember watching Sam McGuffey. Why didn't you draft him?
Oh, the most incredible football player ever.
It's like, he's leaping over guys.
It's like Donovan Edwards going undrafted on the heels of him saying he was going to be the greatest running back to ever play.
I'm surprised. You know what? I think Donovan Edwards is a good football player, so I'm missing something there. Jets, I think, got a pretty good bargain there, but maybe that's me, Evan. You know how it is. You know, I'm provincial. You know, I'm an Oakland County guy, and dudes who go to Oakland County schools and having that I covered that. It's the same with the hockey players. You know, they come from Oakland County.
Yeah.
Like the Brinkett and Larkin.
Connor Hellebuck.
Connor Hellebuck. You know, I'm always like, hey, man. You know, so Donovan Edwards, you know, is one of the greatest high school football players of all time, man. He just dominated. And, you know, I was sitting there looking at it, and so maybe I'm provincial.
Yeah, who would have thought his teammate that went to Kentucky, the corner, that would get drafted as high as he did, and Donovan goes undrafted?
I know.
It's amazing.
So it's kind of the way it works. I know you always root for the big Reds when they're out there.
Yeah. God, what was that kid's name?
Tommy Schuster. Did he get drafted?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. Did somebody sign him?
Maybe he can get another year of eligibility for Michigan State.
Tommy Schuster, man. You got a poster of him up on your
I do.
You do? The big reds, man?
Game worn high school jerseys and such.
I think, you know, you caught like three passes, and I caught like five. We were in high school.
They did. Chippewa did have a kid in the NFL. I forget his name. He was a corner. He won a Super Bowl with the Bucks when they won with Brady.
Well, Groves has one, Anthony Pittman.
Oh, that's right.
Anthony Pittman's a Groves.
Oh, he
guy.
Went to Wayne State. Did you
know
that?
Yeah, I went to Wayne State. He's in there. You know, it's like, you know, like Anthony Pittman and I, we played the same position in high school. Wearing the green and whatever.
Wow.
You know, did you know that I went to Groves? Because I'm never reminded that I went to fucking Groves.
I heard that once or twice.
I went, Groves. So-and-so, you know. I'm like, wow, man.
That's so good.
That was so fucking long ago, too, you know, that I went to Groves. You know, Jesus, you know, yeah, I went to Groves.
Pat Groves Caputo.
Wait, where'd you go? I went to Groves. Went to Groves. Oh, God, man. It's like, hey, honestly, man, I was getting some hamburger the other day at the butcher shop or, you know, the grocery store at the butcher. And it's like, hey, you went to Groves. You know, I mean, yeah, I went to fucking Groves. I love.
You've also done a few things after that.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Groves. I hated fucking high school, okay? Okay, I hated high school. Now, I was happy. The only time I was happy was when I played on the baseball and football team. You know, it was cool and all that. But, you know, I was basically a fucking loser in high school. I was scared of girls. I was always getting in fights. I had opportunity to have baseball scholarship, not full ones, but, you know, partial.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't have a fucking 2.0 coming out of high school, so I was a fucking loser. I had to go to junior college.
You turned your life around.
I did. But, it was a slow process. You know, I mean, you know, shit, I'm in high school, Evan, and I got to tell you, man, there was one point where I got into a little altercation, and they were going to expel me, and they had a vote. It was two students, two faculty members, and the principal wanted me expelled. And fortunately, it was a 3-2 vote, so I only got suspended for 2 weeks and went bowling at Strike and Spare.
Look at you.
That was back in the day, Evan. Oh, man. Trip down memory lane. Well, Groves. You know, the teachers? I fucking hated my teachers. I hated them. Did I ever tell you the story? Evan? This is the best part of this podcast. I had a teacher, and I'm not going to mention his name, but this teacher one day, because the teachers all kind of were ganged up on me, they wanted to get me in trouble and shit, and they were always talking about me. So this one teacher comes in, and I thought he was nice. I thought he was cool. We were talking, and I said something that wasn't even that bad, and he looks at me and goes, "That's not funny, clown," and he sends me down to the fucking office. And the assistant principal is seeing me all the time, gets in there and goes, "Well, we're going to have to suspend you for a day." I'm like, "Suspend me for a day? I mean, at least I have to do something to get suspended." I didn't even say anything to this guy. So we flash forward about like 25, 30 years later, right? So I get an email one day and says, "Oh, so-and-so is retiring from Groves, and he fondly remembers you. And he remembers when you played for the baseball team. He's a big baseball fan. He said you were quite a hitter, but really couldn't flash the old leather." I mean, I'm not making this up. And he would, you know, "We would love to have you be at his retirement at the old Ticonderoga," which is this restaurant by the Troy Golf Course.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, fuck this guy. I'm not going.
Did you go?
No. I didn't even return the email. Because I'm on the radio, all of a sudden, you know, this guy who got me in trouble, this guy, he wanted me to get...
He wanted your stardom, man.
He hated me. The guy hated me.
Oh, that's so good.
And all of a sudden, like, yeah. And then the other part of it, I didn't flash the old leather. I was a pretty good fielder.
That's what really got you.
Yeah, I got a picture of me doing the spread. Evan's seen it in the Oakland Press where I used to work.
That's so good.
There you go. So, but that's the best part of the podcast. Evan,
I learned something new.
I love Groves. I went there when my old coach, Jim Crosby, had his farewell. I went there and, saw the school and talked to Cros. He was a great coach. He won top 10, 15 winningest coaches in the history of state. And I was on his first three teams. I'm very proud of that. And I love Groves, and I hope they always win. But I'll be honest with you, I hated fucking high school.
I love this. So good.
So don't call up all the time and start reminding me of my old classmates who I loved, but I just, it reminds me of high school when I was a fucking loser. Okay? Till next time, we'll talk to you.